So let's pray first, okay? Father, we just thank you again for your great mercy and love. We thank you, Father God, that we belong to you because of Christ and his finished work at the cross. We know, O Lord God, how desperately we need the fullness of your Spirit in our lives. For, Lord, there's such a draw in these last days. There's such a draw for us to leave the faith that we know and love. So, Father, tonight, through your word, speak to our hearts. Let us truly be tender to his leading as your word comes forth. Hide me behind your cross, my Lord and my God, that you will only be seen and you will only be heard. And like the song was said, I love that song, and it's the first time I heard it. Lord, we know there's forgiveness in your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for that. Because of our sins, you paid the ultimate price, and we thank you that there is forgiveness. And there is peace and security and comfort at the foot of the cross. So, Father, tonight, have your way. Have your Spirit speak to us. Let us be sensitive to listen, to truly abide in your word, and let your word abide in us. And we thank you and praise you through Christ our Lord. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. 1 through 10. If you remember anything that I taught or tried to teach specifically in this setting, in Christ. Never lose sight of that, because once you lose sight of in Christ, then you put you in a position where you maybe are above Christ. Because if you listen to the worldly teaching, there's something good in every person. And I heard tonight that there's no good in any person. And he stepped on my sermon a little bit, or my teaching tonight. That's okay, Bob, because he gave me a tie. So he's forgiven. All right? What can I say? So I'm not going to read 1 through 10. We're going to take them one at a time, okay? And if you want to read ahead, go ahead. If you can read and listen at the same time, fine. If you can't, just stick with me. Because I know I have problems. Good. The message tonight is going to be, either or alive in Christ or by grace through faith. Pick up whichever one you want, and you can put that on a label, or put, if you're taking notes, use whichever one you want, because it's all one and the same, amen? Because it's in Christ alone, and not in anything else. Okay. And you, who's he speaking to? And you. Right, who is he speaking to at first, though? The Ephesians, okay? All of these books were written to a specific church or a specific person, but it's still God's word pertaining to today. So he's speaking to each and every one in this building, except the one that just walked out, whoever that was. So, and he's made us alive. He has made us alive. You were dead. You were dead. We were all dead in trespasses and sin, each and every one. And I'll tell you, I've said this numerous times, I thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread for many, many years. I didn't realize I was dead. I was the walking dead. You see all these shows about the zombies and the whatever. What do they call those shows? The Walking Dead. Yeah, dumb. That's good too. But their titles, The Walking Dead, and so on and so forth. That's what I was. That's what you were. We were walking dead. But he came and he made us alive. He made us alive. True life. Full life. Tantalizing life. A life that I never experienced before. And I'm experiencing more and more of it each and every day as I read his word, as he speaks to me through his word. Every day I get more excited. I'm getting to the point where I just want to read his word more and more. And then J.K. started us on this Genesis, you know, blah, blah, and I'm doing that, and I'm picking up things that I never even saw before that I read. It's just, it becomes live. It becomes new again. Little things that I know I read it before, but it was never alive to me like it is now. And it's so exciting because I'm alive, because he made me alive. He gave me new life, new breath, new thoughts. You know, and there's still the bad thoughts that are there. But more and more, each and every day, less and less and less of that garbage that was part of my life for so many years. It's not all gone. I'm not going to say it is. Because it isn't. But now I'm truly alive, and I'm walking with Him. I'm walking in Him. And it's because of the life that He has given me now. And He lives within me. He lives within you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is the one with the power. Jesus Christ gave everything to Him. Now, He listens to what Jesus says. And what Jesus says, He brings to us. Amen? It's exciting. It really is. Because I know what lies ahead now. Before, I didn't know. I was in the store the other day and somebody said something about, "Don't, I hope tomorrow." And I said, "You're not promised tomorrow." I said, "Yesterday's gone. Today is today. You don't know anything about tomorrow. Nobody does. We're not promised tomorrow. But I know what we are promised. We're promised eternal life through the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Him from the grave. Is going to raise us up to be with Him. Amen? We are alive. He's made us alive. That's exciting. That's exciting. You know, a lot of people say, well, you got to jump up and down, you got to flare your arms and all this. I'm excited inside because I'm alive inside. It doesn't matter out here. It doesn't matter if I smile or I grip, whatever I do out here. It's in here. I have eternal life living within me. Amen? That's verse 1. He's made us alive who were dead in trespass and sins. That song was beautiful, Mark. I want to get the words to it. There is forgiveness. His forgiveness. It doesn't matter if you forgive me or not. He's forgiven me. And that's a glorious part. Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience. I was a very disobedient son. And Satan heads up this whole system, this whole world. He's in charge of it because Adam and Eve gave him rule on this earth. He is the ruler. He is the ruler. And we walked in his world for many, many years. But now we're alive. We're in a new world. We're in the world that the Lord wants us in. And all that power that lives within us is available to us to live this life that He wants us to live, that He expects us to live. Why would He go through all of that if He saves us and there's no change in our lives? We're still walking in the same way. We're still looking at the same things. We're still hearing the same things. It's in the world. And we hear it, and we see it. It's a constant thing. That's why it's so important to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us, because when these things creep up, then the Word wells up within us and gives us His power to overcome all that temptation, all that draw that's out there that we see every day. No matter where we go, it's there. The lust of the flesh and the eyes, all of these things. And this is what the world wants. The world wants us to embrace this again. See, they hated Him without a cause. And if they hated Him without a cause, they're going to hate us. But yet we still want this world in our lives. I want nothing to do with it. I want to be totally free from it. And the only way I know I'm going to be totally free is that I totally stay walking in the way. Hanging on to that finished work of the cross constantly in my life. Do I go astray? Yes, I do. Why? Because that sin nature is still there, drawing, pulling on me. And His power is still pulling too. And I find each day, as I grow weaker, He grows stronger in me. And I have that strength to avoid some of the things I know are displeasing. Sin is a terrible thing in the eyes of God. And sometimes because we know Him so well, sometimes we'll do things and just kind of fluff it off because we're walking with Him. But if we're truly walking as close as we should, no matter what, The Bible says, if it's not done in faith, it's sin. Okay? And we all sin. You can't keep from it because of that sin nature. But if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, every time you misstep, as some preachers say, but I say, when you sin, He tugs at your heart. He doesn't condemn you. When you sin, if you're under condemnation, that's the enemy. But when you sin, if you are under remorse, that's the Holy Spirit. No matter what the sin is, we should be remorseful when we do sin, because sin is very powerful. Sin is death. Sin is death. So that's why it's so very important to listen to His small voice as He speaks to us. Even when we're not reading the Word, if the Word's in us, He's going to bring Word to your memory. And all of us, as we grow in this grace, as we grow closer to Him because of His Word, because of our association with, because of our speaking with Him, this sin, each time, will make us more remorse. Every time. Every time. Even the little, people say little sin, but anything that breaks God's heart is sin. Amen? Because He wants the best for us. And what is our best? What's His best for us? His mind engulfing our mind. Because if His mind engulfs our mind, then our mind will be always focused on Him, His Word. And then, once we have that relationship pretty well solidified while we're still in this flesh, then we can truly say we love one another. Because we truly can't love one another if we're not totally in love with Christ. Regardless of what people say, I could care less, because I know it's prevalent in my life because of His Word. So if I can't truly walk with Him and love Him the way that I should, as I will each day, as I draw closer, as I read His Word, as I let the Holy Spirit truly can speak to my heart when I do stumble, when I sin, and then I can love you truly more and more and more as we're supposed to love one another. So the world will see our love, not our failures, not our screw-ups, but they will see the love, because the love will draw them. The love will draw them. We're not perfect, and that's been the fault of the church for so many years. Well, we're perfect, we're perfect. No, we're not perfect. We're just like they are, except we have the blessed hope. We have that promise, and that promise will never leave us, will it? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. I will always be your all in all. That's the beauty of this walk. And that's the beauty that He's given to us. We were dead, and now we're alive because of Him. We walked that way once, but we don't want to walk that way anymore. We want to walk in the way, always in the way. Amen? We're in the world, but not of the world. We're in this world, but we're not to be of it. We don't want anything to do with this world other than what we have to have in this world. We got to go to Walmart. Right, Gary? We got to go to Walmart. We have to go to these places. But we do not want to become part of it. Accept their values. Accept their way of life. Accept them. They're there. We see them. They don't see us. But we see them. All right? We want them to see the love permeating from us. But it's not our love. Because it's hard. It's His love. It has to be His love. Because our love is tainted. But as we grow in the grace and the knowledge and put on the mind of Christ as we're supposed to do, then the love will be His love flowing through us and touching others. And our love for one another will permeate to the whole community. There's always a cost, though. John 15, 18 through 25. And I want to stress this more and more and more, because as you see some of these places and some of these fellowships, more and more the world is creeping in. And I don't want the world to love me. I want the world to love Christ. Okay? I don't want them to love me. I want them to love Him. John 15, 18. This is the cost of following Christ. All right? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember, the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But yet we still want to embrace the things of the world. We want the world to love us. And if we're truly walking with Christ, they may respect us, but I don't think they'll ever love us. As long as we share the truth in His love, then God will manifest to that person, in that person's heart. And that person will either say yes or say no and hate us all the more. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Because this is very extremely important. The more we become of the world, less they see Christ in us. And the less there is going to be any true power. We're going to start working in our own power. We have no power to witness apart from the Holy Spirit. I have no power in myself. I can say the words. I can do it, you know, walk the walk and so on and so forth. But if that power is not coming from the Holy Spirit to speak to that heart, they're empty words. That's all they are. They're just words on a page, and they will mean nothing to that individual. It has to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. We plant the seed. We speak the word. It's the seed. And then the Holy Spirit works in the heart. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that you can't go out and witness and witness and witness. You can, because the word is going forth. But yet it has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be my power. And I want to be weaker more and more each day so He can become stronger in my life. There is no other way. Now I'm getting to Bob's verse. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Okay? Now, if you think about that, the world tells you there's good in everybody. Right? There's good in everybody. Because there are good people according to the world's standards. There's a lot of people that go up to the park and pass out different things, and you know, or they do good things for their neighbors and so on and so forth. And that is good. It's a worldly goodness. It's like the old saying, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. They're always doing something to receive something. And that's the way the world is, and they say that's good. But somebody once said, there is no one good. And Jesus said that. Why do you call me good? He says, there's none good. There's only one. Jesus said that. There is only one that's good, and that's God. But the world does good things. Now, most of the world that does good things, they're not criminals, right? Now, the criminal is bad, but they're good. See, they're comparing themselves like with a criminal or something like that. But what's God's comparison? What's God's plumb line? That's the good. That's the only good that we can follow. That's the only good that we can look at. That's the only comparison. So if you take the God's comparison out, forget it. Forget it. Then everybody in the world is wonderful except the criminals. But see, God says there's none good but one, God Himself. And Jesus said that. So if Jesus said it, must be true, huh? That's pretty strong coming from God Himself to say that. Amen? And this can only happen in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. We have to be in Christ. Verses 4 and 5. What's the first two words of your but God. Has everybody got but God? If you don't, write it in. Two of the most welcome words in the Scriptures. We were dead, but God. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, but God. But God. There's two great words, aren't they? But God. Think about your life. Think about where you could be right now. Because I know where I'd be, without a shadow of a doubt. Just think about that for a minute. Don't think about anything else, but think about that. But God. Think about your life before but God. Try to remember what you were doing before but God. Just for a second. Just focus on that, nothing else. Just for one second. But God. God left everything and came for me. He came for you. But it wouldn't have mattered if there was just me. He still would have came. He still would have sacrificed. He still would have went through all that agony. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together, together, together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Together. Me and Him. You and Him. We're together with Him. But God brought us together. But God brought us together. We're in Christ. We have the blessed hope. We have His power living within us to strengthen us, to help us. As we truly, truly get to know Him, we will see how desperately we truly need Him for every aspect of our life, for our daily bread, for our breath, even our just our breath. It's His universe. It's His oxygen. It's not ours. Everything is His, and we have it all in Him, together with Him. Together. We're together with Him. Let that sink in. Let it truly grip your heart. Grip your whole being to know that without Him, totally nothing in our lives is worth anything. Nothing. All those things that I coveted, all those things that I wanted, all those things that I did, they mean nothing. They're nothing but dung. Worse than that. Together. But God brought us together with Christ, and by His grace we have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up, here's that word again, together, raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, positionally, we are sitting in the heavenlies with Christ Himself, spiritually. But now we have the power to live here till we get truly to the realization of the spiritual truth that we're in right now. We're with Him now, spiritually. We are blessed by Him now. We are His righteousness is in us right now. All we have to do is sit back, rest, and trust, and believe. Believe in everything that He said in His Word, and everything He's saying to you individually, each day, even as we sit here now. He's speaking to each and every one of you individually. All you have to do is listen. Because He is speaking to us. Every time His Word is spoken, He's speaking to us. He's speaking to you. He loves us collectively, but He loves us individually. and He knows our hearts. He knows our every thought. That's why it's so extremely important to get to know Him more and better so He can get all that garbage that's still in us, that still hinders that togetherness that He wants more and more and more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because every time that we commit a sin, knowingly or unknowingly, there's a little film there. It can't really bring that total togetherness that He wants. We are together, yes, but there's still that little bit of film every now and then that kind of separates us a little bit. But the beauty is, the song says, yes, there is forgiveness. The forgiveness is there. All we have to do is ask and believe that He forgives, because He does. See, that's where this Christian walk is. Well, I believe this, I believe that, but is it part of your life, your inner life? Is it just here? Yes, I believe. I believe George Washington lived, big deal. But I know Christ lives because He lives within my heart. And He, when I grieve Him, He lets me know it. And He lets you know it too. Don't fluff it off. Don't fluff it off, because He will continue to speak to you. And sometimes He has to get a little rough. He doesn't want to, but sometimes He has to. All right? But God, He's raised us up together. Our eternal life with Christ is certain because we are united in His powerful victory. His powerful victory. If we go back to chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? Let me read it again. Ephesians 1, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? If we truly believe, then His power is alive within us, bringing us closer to Him, opening up more of this Word to us as He opens it up, as He opens up this truth. Because if He's not living in you and speaking to you, like I said before, they're just words. But He brings them alive to us. This is the Logos, the living Word. This is the written Word, excuse me, the Rhema. He is the Logos. He is the living Word. This is the Rhema. This is the living, this is the written Word that He sent to us. As the Holy Spirit spoke to all of these different writers of what we are to abide in and let work in our lives and strengthen us in the faith, the grace and faith that is ours. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift given to us from Him. So we should thank Him every day and praise Him and give Him glory and honor and thank Him for those gifts, the grace and the faith that's ours, that He gave it. I didn't have it. He gave it to me, His grace and His faith. And it brings the truth alive in our lives because He's alive in us. I'm just waiting for that trumpet sound. I'm just waiting for that sound because that's where I want to go. I want to be with Him. I don't want to be even in this world anymore. I'm being less and less part of it, but I don't want anything to do with it. I still have to go to Walmart. In verse 7, it takes us right back to 1 through 10 or 15, I forget now, but that in the ages to come, well, tomorrow's another day, right? It's part of the ages, every day. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in what? Christ Jesus. In Christ. He's not going to let us get away from that. I don't want to get away from that because it is all about Christ. Everything in Christ Jesus. And none of ourselves in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of us. It's all His gift. It's all about Him. It's not about us or anybody else. This is the greatest gift we can ever receive. It's not of works. Works will become part of this grace in our lives. when it's truly Him that we're doing this for, just like we were talking earlier about Saturday, the rain and maybe less people and everything. But it doesn't matter. Now, if we're going in our own, on our own, to show how good we are or how nice this church is or whatever, then it's going to be a failure. And then when it is raining, we'll get soaked. But if we're truly going in His grace, in His mercy, in His knowledge, for His good, for His glory, and for our good, then even if it rains, we don't get wet. You understand what I'm saying? Then we don't get upset and all this. Because it doesn't matter what happens to us if we're in the way. If we're in the way, doing what He has asked us to do, but not really asked us, actually He's commanded us. He's commanded us. Who is our neighbor? Those guys, those girls, or whoever in that park. So it doesn't matter. And like we were talking about, a lot of them might not be there. But whoever is there, God's going to speak to their heart through this outreach that He has instituted, not us. So there are works involved in this Christian walk because He says He has already ordained the works. We don't go looking for the works. He'll bring the works to us. And everybody's screaming about the gifts in the church and so, got to do this. And no, the Bible says that He gives gifts as. Okay? I heard Robert Furl say it, and it was pretty good. It was kind of funny. He says, yeah, if it was me giving out gifts, it'd be okay. But He gives gifts as He sees fit, to whom He sees fit, to whom He wants to use. I'm looking for the gift giver. If He wants to give me the gift of healing, it's not me healing, it's Him healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not seeking these things. I'm seeking Him. Because what's the point of having this, you know, if I'm seeking it for my own glory? Whatever rewards I get here now, but I want the reward up there. So I'm seeking Him. I got off the track a little bit, but I had to say it. But that's all right. So everything we received is a gift. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. And Diane and I have talked a lot about different things. And regardless of what happens in our lives, if we truly believe that He's sovereign, He's in control of everything, no matter what happens, that we're going to draw closer to Him or we're going to draw farther away. Okay? And she knows it and I know it. We want to draw closer to Him regardless of what's going on in our lives because He's in control. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And He's going to do what is ever necessary. I'm going to close with this. He's going to do whatever is necessary in each and every one of our lives, in our lives, for us to get closer to Him. Because the closer we get to Him, the better we're going to be. You understand what I'm saying? No matter what happens, He's the God of all things. He's the giver of life. He's the one that takes life. But He wants us to have such a close relationship with Him. He knows our hearts. We don't. So whatever happens in our lives, if we truly believe that He is in control of everything, and we believe that, regardless of what happens in our lives, He will get the glory, and we will draw closer to Him. And that's where He wants us. He wants us very, very close to Him. Amen? So I'm going to close with this here. It has been said that separating faith and works is like separating the heat and light from a candle. You know both are produced by the candle. You know they are not the same thing. You also know you cannot separate them. Amen? So if His faith is truly working in our lives, then the works will follow that He wants because He's already ordained the works. It's all about Him. It's all in Christ. And He knows each and every one of us. And He will never fail us. And just remember, even when we are faithless, He remains what? Faithful. Amen? Father, I thank You for Your word. And I just thank You for my brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord, that we will truly allow Your Spirit to guide us. to lead us, and we will be willing servants to listen and to follow. And we give you the praise and the glory. And we thank you that Jesus, you truly finished all the work for us. We can now rest in you because we know someday we're going to see you face to face. And I just praise you and thank you. Amen.